The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. God sets us free as we abide. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Psalm of the Lutheran Reformation is Psalm 46. It was on this Psalm that a mighty fortress was based. We speak of some portions of that responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So we now continue with the portion of Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism, the third article of the Apostles' Creed and its meaning. What is the third article of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Friends, as we are saved by grace alone, God's grace, mercy, and peace will be with you. Because Jesus Christ, who knows you and knows you well, has given his life for you to prepare us for life everlasting. Amen. Friends, my message is called, Why Do We Know This Person? And there are some figures in history, maybe even in recent history, that you know, maybe you even in some ways know well. But bluntly, you never should have. As you follow a little bit of what their history was, these are people you should never have known. But I'm pretty sure by the time I get done describing them, you will. For example, at age 5, this man's father died, and he had to spend most of his time not going to school because he had to care for his siblings. At age 16, he quit school altogether. By age 17, he had already lost 4 jobs. At age 18, he got married, and he tried to join the army, but he washed out after only a short time. By age 20, his wife had left him and taken their baby along with her. With no other place to turn, he became a cook in a small cafe and eventually convinced his wife to return and join him there. At some point, he ended up working for a cafe that was attached to a service station. And eventually he bought it and was making a business there. And even though he never made much money, he was able to be a chief chef and focus on some recipes that he had invented to get people to come there. His attraction became popular enough that at some point, the governor of that state, who at one point before he became the governor, had stopped there once at his cafe and was really impressed with his food, thought that this little service station had become enough of an icon that he gave this man a civilian title he was never going to get from the military. This man was given the title of Colonel. So you know where this is going. What you may not know is, even as he did all that, at the age of 65, he retired. And he felt like a failure. He even contemplated committing suicide. But he sat down to write his will, but instead wrote a summary of what he would have accomplished with his life if he'd had another chance. But all he could think about was the special recipes that he had made up. So he borrowed $87, brought his special recipe along, and started going door to door selling his fried chicken, and eventually started trying to get people to franchise this delicious chicken. And by the age of 88, Colonel Harlan Sanders had become a billionaire. Let's try another one. This man had his mother and first stepmother die before he was 12. He lost his oldest sister at 18, and he never had a good relationship with his father, mostly due to the fact that he had a love of reading, while his father, of course, would prefer him working out in the fields. He moved around a lot between three different states in his childhood, and because of that, he went to school only very sporadically. In fact, they added it up later, and they estimated that he only spent in all of his years of childhood a grand total of about 12 months total going to school. He never went to college. Contrary to how most people remember him, he spent most of his life without a beard, only growing it in the last 4 years of his life, and only then at the suggestion of an 11-year-old girl who had written him a letter. For years, he could not hold down one steady job, though a lot of that had to do with his determination to try to be something more. Eventually, he got interested in politics. But as he tried to run for various offices at the local and eventually state and eventually national level, he lost 7 elections. Even after the famous election that he did win, in the midst of a skirmish of our nation, his most famous speech was absolutely panned, downright hated by most of the people that were there that day, who considered it a short, confusing cop-out. It wasn't until after his death that the speech he is famous for became legendarily famous. He became a national leader, but while he loved the people of all regions of the country, all regions did not love him. And ultimately, he was the one that united this United States of America at the one time that we went to war, brother against brother. The person, of course, I'm referring to is Abraham Lincoln. We should never have gotten to know either one of those people with their past, but we do. Now here's someone else that maybe you shouldn't know. A man who also didn't have a good relationship with his father because, first, his father, who had been kind of was well-to-do compared to a lot of other people in the community, had thought that he was going to have his son running his copper smelts after he was no longer able to. But this man had no interest in anything except to become a lawyer. Well, at some point, the father actually started becoming okay with this man becoming a lawyer, and right about that time, he left the field of law, never to return. He started living a life of severe poverty, but even in the midst of all of that, his life was defined by his relationship to God and how he could not ever feel peace with God because of the inadequacy of him because of his sins. The people who were his superiors would try to give him comfort, but were absolutely unable to. And at some point, the only thing they knew how to do was to give this man more work. And as a result of that work, two things happened. First of all, he became one of the more learned men of his time. He even received the rare title of doctor. In fact, with the ceremony that where he became a doctor, he was awarded this special sword, and he was so clumsy with it, he hurt himself and about bled to death. But he also, in the midst of the people still trying to find a way to give him comfort, and because they couldn't, just give him more work, decided to give him a job that nobody else really wanted to do, to teach young student priests the Bible at a new university in town, which forced this man to do something hardly anybody ever did. To actually go and find a Bible and read it so that he would be prepared for his classes. And as he read and then taught first the book of Genesis, then the Psalms, then Romans, he finally, Martin Luther, finally began to understand what the scriptures were about. And how indeed what had been taught to him was not the truth at all. But you know, as we celebrate the day of the Lutheran Reformation, that man that's now well known in Lutheran circles, Martin Luther, would be the first to say to you, no. Okay, that's nice. You know this stuff about me. But there's another man who should never, ever, ever be not known, who sadly, in his era, wasn't, and more in our era, isn't, that he would say, this is the person you need to know, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. It seemed unthinkable that we could go through a history where at some point the central figure of our salvation was completely forgotten. Oh, everybody knew the name of Jesus. Or they thought they did. But nobody really knew what his work of dying on the cross was all about. Through the centuries, the legacy of the church became one that forgot about the work of what Jesus Christ did. How he paid the price for our sins so that we didn't have to. It was a slow and steady and troubling process that was fueled by two things. First of all, where Jesus himself became something other than who he was. An era that took place because the people did not have access to the scriptures. And because they didn't have access to the scriptures, now the gospel disappeared, and in its place was nothing but the law. The law that makes us feel inadequate. Remember that word? The law that makes us feel like God will never be happy with us. Sadly, both inside and outside the church, that legacy seems to be coming back today. Now, as opposed to the last time when it was kind of a slow process, I mean, it was amazing what needed to take place so that we ended up with the mess that we had in Martin Luther's era. What's happening today seems to be comparatively, at least in the annals of history, a relatively rapid process in which we are turning our back on anything about God's word that we don't like. And it's still fueled by two things. Number one is a total lack of understanding what the real purpose of the eternal gospel is all about. And in its place comes another self-affixed law. Something we claim we want to be freed from, but something we ultimately become hostage to. Friends, it's in this setting that I chose my text for today. And yes, part of it, of course, is what we heard in our epistle lesson. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It is not a result of works so that no one may boast. But then I would like to add these words. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. These words. You then, be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And what you have heard in the presence of faithful witnesses, entrust to others who will be able to teach the truth. Always remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in the gospel. The real theme, my friends, of the Reformation, always remember Jesus Christ. And don't just remember him. Tell people who he is and what he's done for you. Because in the face of what we're seeing today, you might be just as inclined to ask, well, what am lowly I supposed to do about it? Let's remind ourselves of something. Abraham Lincoln very often felt like he was fighting the battle alone, trying to hold together a union that had existed for less than 100 years, fighting against generals that didn't want to do their job, didn't have a clue how to do their job, and sometimes actively fought what it was that against what it is that Lincoln was trying to fight for. Yes, one man can make a difference. And if you recall Martin Luther standing up against both church and state and saying before the emperor, unless I am convinced by scripture, I cannot and I will not recant anything, because to go against scripture is neither right nor safe. Oh, yes. One person can make a difference. And ultimately, the people that are going to be asked to make a difference are you. And you are the real winners of this whole thing, because you have gotten to see what sending Jesus into the world is all about. You have that eternal gospel. You know what Jesus did for you. You know how much he loves you. And you know the price that he was willing to pay so that one day you can have eternal life. And we need to have that rethemed once again today. Because in some places, there's no law. And where there's no law, there can be no gospel. But even if that seems to be the truth, the real truth is, law has been allowed to dominate once again. Now, it's a different kind of law. It is a self-law in which people have anointed themselves their own God, where they determine what parts of Scripture are important, what Scripture should say, what they should believe, the things that they think should be most important. Now, is our task impossible? It may seem that way. You know, remember that Harlan Sanders was at a point where, for many of us, if we ever thought we were going to be making contributions in this world, well, at that point, his had barely begun. For a person like Abraham Lincoln, he had to give orders that sent 100,000 men to their deaths, but did so knowing what ultimately needed to be kept together, ultimately what needed to happen for us to be today the United States of America. And if one man can also stand between before both church and state and say, here I am, here I stand, God help me, amen. Remember also this. We are simply asked to plant the seed of the gospel. One of the things that we learned today, we got reminded again today, beautifully written words by Martin Luther. I can't, neither can you, neither anybody here, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit, who calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts, and sanctifies and keeps us in the true faith. And in the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with this person right here in the one true faith. That is our task. Keep the good news as the true good news. And make that the first thing that goes in front of people. Because, see, out there somewhere, there is someone who maybe you know well, hopefully you know very well, who is waiting to be known. Not because of something that they invented, something that seems to have changed life, something that we can indulge in, but for standing up for the true eternal gospel. Is that going to be you? Well, if God's love by giving his son is to be known, it must and will start right there. Right there where the person that's occupying that spot in your pew where you just happen to be sitting right now, that's where it starts. After that, the Lord is writing our story, even now. And before he takes us to eternal life, who knows? You, whether you're remembered as the one person that would be willing to stand up and stand for the eternal gospel, you will be remembered as one who was faithful unto death and given the crown of life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For all those who are marked with the sign of the cross and sealed with the Holy Spirit, that the baptized children of God may hold forth the word of truth throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord. For all pastors, teachers, musicians, missionaries, and servants of the church, that they may lead God's faithful people with loving hearts and voices, let us pray to the Lord. For Faith Lutheran Church, that we may see the great need for the truth of God's word in our local community and shine Christ's light in our neighborhoods, let us pray to the Lord. For all who serve in positions of leadership in our government, along with those who serve in our armed forces, that our mighty fortress would protect them as they serve to protect our freedoms, let us pray to the Lord. For all those with illness of heart, mind, and body, we now lift up to you, Lord, someone in our own life that is in need of the protection, the love, the care, and the healing that you give. We now name before you in a moment of silence. That they may be set free from their infirmities and rest in the healing presence of our Savior. Let us pray to the Lord. God of grace, lead us with humble but joy-filled hearts to the supper of your Son's body and blood. Unite us as your people. Prepare us with this meal for life and death. God of grace, hear our prayers and help your people. For we pray through your Son who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord Jesus, may we abide in your word. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's conclude with the unison prayers. We stand and pray together. Almighty and gracious Lord, your word is our source of life. By your Spirit, teach your people throughout the world with the eternal gospel of your Son, that as hearts receive your truth, you may set us free from the curse of our sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You are made to be his workmanship, walking daily in his word. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.